he taught on giving completely, you know, giving our hearts to God, our whole being. And Mr. Fusulo came in behind him and preached on giving generously, which is always a tough one because sometimes, a lot of times, we equate that with just, is that God? And I'm going to be preaching today on giving freely. That's a wide open topic. But I'm going to begin by reading something that some of us might be familiar with, maybe a lot of us might be, and some of the younger generation maybe might have seen it once or twice or never seen it. But how many remember the Blues Brothers? Oh, yeah, okay. Hey, they were a 1980 American comedy classic that starred John Belushi. You remember John Belushi? He's very talented. And Dan Aykroyd, alias Jake in Elwood Blues. Characters developed from the Blues Brothers sketch from the Saturday Night Live show at that time, for those who were Saturday Night fans. The storyline is a tale of redemption for paroled convicts Jake and his bro Elwood, who take on... You know what they take on?
We're on a mission from God.
They take on a mission from God. I love that line. To save from foreclosure the Catholic orphanage from which they grew up, to do so they must reunite the R&B band, in other words, get the band back together again, and organize a performance to raise $5,000 to pay off a property tax bill, which would probably be about $50,000 in our day and age. However, it is without cost as they are hounded and pursued by a destructive woman, neo-Nazis, and a country western band, all the while being relentlessly pursued by the police. Truth be told, if we are believers in Christ, then we are all on.
We're on a mission from God.
Is that not true?
Yes.
We're all on a mission from God. And it's the kingdom of God, which is very reflective of some of the songs we sang this morning. It is a kingdom that has been freely bestowed upon us by the saving words and works of Jesus Christ, the one we are to emulate, extend, bestow to others who are in need of salvation regardless of the cost. Now, George Ladd said something in his book on the kingdom. He said that the kingdom of God demands a radical reaction, not a passive one, but a radical reaction. In other words, we do something. Amen? We do something. A reaction that is participatory and not passive. And that leads us to the text I want to speak out of today. And that's found in Matthew 10, 7, 8. Does anybody bring Bibles anymore?
Yes.
Yeah? As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And here it is. Freely you have received, freely give. That's a loaded sentence right there. Let me just say that Jesus is sending out the disciples to do ministry. Their mission from God was relatively a simple one. Preach the kingdom of heaven has come near. And oh yeah, by the way, as you go, heal the sick. Raise the dead, or the spiritual dead, however you want to approach it. Bring healing, restoration, hope. Jesus then finishes the statement by saying, freely you receive, freely give. Now, why did he stop? Why did he end it with that statement? Have you ever read this and go, why did he end it with that? You probably want to know, right? Think about this for a minute. This is the first time I've ever kind of put it together. I don't know why it's taken me all these years to figure this one out, but you know, I might not be the smartest knife in the drawer, but sometimes I can be. Think about this. This predates the cross. This predates the resurrection. This predates the outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost. I don't know about you, but last time I checked in the scriptures, Jesus said to the disciples, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So what do? They left dad in the boat and walked off with Jesus. I don't see anything about salvation there. Do you? He just said, come follow me. Just come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. In the broader context, the Spirit has just driven Jesus into the wilderness to do battle with the enemy for 40 days. Jesus returns from the desert experience triumphantly, filled with the Holy Spirit, as referenced in Luke 4:1. If you read Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and if you read Matthew leading up to chapter 10, there's a lot that Jesus was doing. A lot of activity. A lot of people getting healed. Demons coming out of people. He proclaims the same message as John, the language of Isaiah the prophet, placing his words unmistakably in an end-of-the-world context. The time was at hand. The good news had arrived. People must repent and prepare to meet their God because the kingdom was near. And you know what? The kingdom is near right now. It's near right now. The new age of salvation had arrived, and because the breakthrough of the kingdom had occurred, that is why Jesus said, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We were not given some little, like, you know, kingdom roller coaster, kingdom carousel, or whatever the case might be. We have been given that which has been consummated in the future, brought in to the present. And what did Jesus do? We know what he did, do we not? How do we do that? How can we do the same thing? Sometimes I don't think I need to even say anything about this because we know what we're supposed to do, don't we? Right? Yeah, I'm going to ask questions. All right, I'm going to ask questions. So this is what I want to talk about. Two things. Freely we received. How many feel like, I'm going to say put it this way, feel like they've received something from Jesus in their lifetime? Okay, no brainer, right? Right? Freely we received our kingdom portion. The word freely means graciously, without cause, a present gift offering, bestowed or bestowment, undeserved, unmerited grace. We've all been given something we don't deserve. I don't know about you, but when I think about this stuff like this, this stuff really, really excites me inside. Because for the last couple months, prior to even Mario even asking me to do this, I've been struggling with the fact is, it's like, I want to go do this stuff again. I want to do what I first did when I received the good news. Yes. Kind of reflect back when you guys and myself, when we received the good news, what was going on inside of us? Let me just say this about the whole freely receiving aspect of it, is that the initiative and grace always rest with God. The initiative of grace always rest with God. In other words, he's the one that gets the whole thing going. We don't suddenly wake up one day and say, I just want to follow Jesus because I can. No, Jesus just pours it into us, says, that's the person I want. I want that person. And we can see that with an illustration out of Genesis 12, where Abraham, the Lord speaks to Abraham and says, Abraham, leave your country, leave your father, and go to the land I'm going to show you. Why didn't he ask somebody else? These are really good questions. Why didn't he ask somebody else? There was a lot of other people on the earth. Why Abram? Want to know the reason why? Because he freely just picked him out and said, I want to give you something. And through you, your offspring will be blessed. And those who curse you will be cursed. Those who bless you will be blessed. Did he not say that? We're a blessed people. We're a blessed people. We're a blessed people. Listen to what it says out of Ephesians. Now, God has us where he wants us. With all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus, saving is all his idea. Can we say that together? Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we made the whole thing up. Right? No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. And in terms of freely received, then, what then has God done for you and I? Let's think about that as I go through this. Because I suspect over the seasons of our journey and years, there's been disappointment. There's been heartbreak. There's been misunderstanding. I've never been misunderstood. And I've never misunderstood anybody. But let me just go back to the whole Luke passage as Jesus reflects on what Isaiah the prophet said. And this is what I mean by what has he done for us. I want you to listen to this. One of the most illuminating moments in the life of Jesus was when he opened the scroll of Isaiah in the synagogue in Luke 4, 16 through 19, deliberately explaining what he understood his ministry to be. He selected a passage that refers not only to the liberation motif in Isaiah, but ends with an amazing statement about the acceptable year of the Lord, also known as the year of Jubilee. You remember that? That one? From the law of Moses, a special time of liberation. Jesus described his entire future ministry in terms of this season of liberation. His entire ministry. In his answer to John the Baptist's question, "Are you the coming one?" You know that one? Has anyone ever asked that question? Lord, are you around? Are you coming? He deliberately alluded to the promises in Isaiah and pointed to the events taking place in his ministry, which was the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, I'm waiting for that, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. This is what defined his ministry. All this, remember, predates the cross. After the cross, it really gets interesting. True to the all-embracing understanding of salvation that Isaiah prophesied, Jesus was the embodiment of good news of the kingdom. The will of the Father arrived suddenly and immediately in the centrality of Christ. Heaven, future. It's always good to look at the kingdom in terms of future coming forward. Because as far as Jesus is concerned, it's finished. We're just in kind of the mop-up detail right now. That's what's happening. Had come to earth presence, and it was all his doing. And then he ends it and he says, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Remember that? I feel like the Lord wants to say today the scripture is still being fulfilled in our hearing. I was just talking to a couple of guys over there. The message remains the same. Methods change, but the message stays steady like an anchor anchoring a boat. It hasn't changed one bit. Amen? Why has God done this for us? God's very nature, love, compels him to give. That's his very nature, to give. You might say, well, I know that. Do you really know that? This is what it says in Titus. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. When we say yes, Lord, we are swept into the eternal life after. The future invades our bodies. Sometimes we may not feel like that. But we're swept up into the end times, even though we're still presently here. How about John 3:16? How many don't know that verse? We can recite that in a deep sleep, diving off a 100-foot, high dive, doing 10 somersaults, 3 flips, and a half gainer or two. We know that scripture so well, do we not? Yes. But let me read this again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but That's pretty generous. This is really, really generous. And this, please stay with me because I really believe it's a message for us today, because I think that God wants us to revisit some things. It's a gift which is to be received inwardly. We receive it inwardly and readily. The word receive means with ready reception, what is offered. It is used of people welcoming God with appropriate reception. Like, come on in, God. Come on in. It stresses the high level of self-involvement. There's an involvement that has to take place. There's got to be that, you know, that decision-making, like receiving and sharing in salvation, like whoever works in a, you know, illustration-wise, who works in a shipping and receiving. You receive it, you put it somewhere, you do something with it. Do you not? Shipping and receiving. We receive something, and then we do something with it, don't we? Unlike me, when Christmas time comes around, I'll receive something, and then I won't put it on for months. You know why? This has nothing to do with the notes, but I'm thinking, because we all come in, you know, the Sunday after Christmas, all look like we're all, you know, Christmas tree ornaments, you know, on steroids, because we're all colorful and we all have everything. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody comes in and go, it's like, I don't want to do that. I like to do the sneak attack, come in a couple months later and wear my nice clothes, you know. But we receive something, but we receive it to do something with it. Amen? That's what we do. What needs to happen in our lives to get us self-involved, and what causes us to get involved? It's really easy to go over a word such as the word receive. In our everyday vernacular, we can use that word dozens of times and never give thought to it. Isn't that true? Words have power, force, and understanding, which we can easily lose significance of what is being stated or implied. What's being implied when we've received? Listen to this out of 1 Thessalonians. It says, and we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, how many have received the word of God? You're not pulling my leg, are you? I've received the word of God, which you heard from us, Paul speaking. You accepted it. Here's a synonym for the word received. You accepted it. Not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. The word of God is at work in us right now. That's what happened when we received the Lord. When you said yes, or however way you said it, the pinky, you know, or in a dance move, I don't care how it is. It's about the heart issue that you know, that Mario spoke about a couple weeks ago. When you said yes, God said yes, and God is at work with us now. George Ladd went on and he says this. He goes, the kingdom belongs to us not because of our own virtue that merits it, because we respond to it. We exercise it because we receive it. There's that word again. As a gift. It is the gift of his divine rule. It's living in us. We got so much kingdom in it. We don't know what to do with it. Some of us are really filled up. And you know what happens when it gets too full? There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That's not where I'm going. But the receiving element does have both encouragement, warning, and blessing attached to it. In James, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. That word literally means don't be hoodwinked. I like that word, hoodwink. Have you been hoodwinked? Properly or thoroughly deceived. Or, here's a way of putting it on it, don't merely listen to the word, so deceive yourself. But it's like biting on the bait that brings the hook. We so deceive ourselves, you know, by merely just listening and not putting it into practice, that we're like a fish. We go after the bait, but we don't know there's a nice, you know, hook behind that bait, you know? And it's It's deceiving. We can deceive. We can talk ourselves out of it. We really can. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You know that one. How much time we spend in front of a mirror in the morning? Or in the car? You know that one? And a couple minutes later, why do we do that? Basically, we've forgotten what we look like, I think. And that's kind of what happens. We receive the word, then we forget what we're in it for. We hoodwink ourselves. Every time I think of hoodwink, I think of tiddlywinks. Therefore, it's not just enough to receive it, the free gift of God, and do nothing with it. We need to actively be involved in the doing process, which reciprocates the good news. Which brings us to the second thing. We're to give freely. Because we've received freely, we're to give freely. Now, this is where it's going to get a little messy, but a good mess. And believe me, I'm speaking to myself on this. Please trust me. I told Lori the other day, I said, man, I'm struggling with this because it's what I want to do. It's what we've been called to do. The word give freely, which is an adverb form of freely we receive, means as a free gift without payment, freely, unearned, undeserved, freely given without cost. Hence, not done out of obligation or compulsion. It literally means to exercise grace. It means to extend grace, which means to what? Others? Absolutely. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, he creates each of us in Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten us ready to do, work we had better be doing. See, being an adverb, it modifies the original sentence that we're to give freely. It's you're to give freely plus you're to do something else. What is that something else? What God did for us. Adverb, it's like a word on steroids again, you know, something with a deep impact, something that's active, participatory, as I said a little while ago. Not only that, but it's a sign of genuine faith that has been believed upon and put into practice. In other words, it's putting feet to our faith. Putting feet to our faith. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he said in James 2:22. And you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. And we're not talking about works here. We're talking about when we receive the free gift, we put our feet to it. There's got to be an element of receiving and doing, but not doing in the sense that we got to work it up, get worked up about it, because we're not under compulsion nor obligation. We want to do it because what he did for us. As I said earlier, I like free gifts. They're really nice and handy. I may not always show it at first, but eventually I will do something with it. You know, and I think in some ways that's kind of, it's just kind of my mentality of late. You know, I've received something from God, but I just kind of, I don't blow my cover, as my wife would say. I don't blow my cover, and that's another story that I might share. So, this is something that we manifest actively. It's not something that we sit back and we're passive. When we sing the song, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me, I love that song because I really am, in my heart, I'm singing for what he's done for me and countless millions of others. When I think about a God who died in my stead, that took upon my sins, upon his shoulder, who bled on the cross, brutally executed. When I think about that, That makes me want to go do things for God. Grace energy. It's something we manifest outwardly and actively. Why? Because Christ's love compels us. We love God because he first loved us. Does that say that? Mario touched on that. It compels us. Now listen to the word compel, which is another verb, means to constrain, whether by threat, entreaty, force, or persuasion. God's love is salvation to us, and his unmerited grace should force us out to herald in his kingdom. God's grace should force us out to herald in his kingdom. Now, I'm not here to force anybody out. That's not what I'm here for. What I'm here is, by way of encouragement, to show us that there are two sides to this whole freely and giving freely and receiving and giving sort of thing. We give to get. We get to give. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. And therefore all died. And he listen to the words of this scripture. Look how many times it uses the word all. And therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves. I'm guilty. But for him who died for them and was raised again. What's stopping us from going in the highways and the byways? What's stopping us from talking to people? What are we afraid of? Kill the body and then you get to be with Jesus? Sometimes I do look in the mirror and I like to forget what I see. Paul said that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's the thing that counts, expressing faith through the love of God. Faith is not a mere intellectual consent, but a living trust in God's grace that expresses itself in acts of love. This is what it is. What are we doing with what we've been given? I'm going to ask that question again. Sometimes in this journey we're on, we can easily become complacent, stagnant. Has anybody ever been complacent in God? Come on. Are you guys being honest? Inwardly focused? Nobody. We've never done that. Wagged by the culture? Why is the culture running us? We should be on the cutting edge of it. We should be the leaders of the free world, you know, in Jesus Christ. We lose sight of our mission and find ourselves self-absorbed or entrenched in the affairs of things that have no eternal value or significance. At times, we may even become spiritual hoarders. You ever see hoarding? Yeah. I was going to show it. I was going to show a clip of hoarding, but I didn't even want to look at it. It was just, right, Jim? I mean, it was messed up. But when you think about it, we've been to more conferences. Maybe some of you haven't. We've been to worship conferences. We've been to healing conferences. We've been to spiritual warfare conference. We have 15 Bibles on our shelves. We got 1,000 CDs of worship songs, or maybe still are used to the LP records, or right, Greg, or cassettes and stuff like that. I mean, do we not have so much information? I didn't get an amen off that, huh? But this is how easy we can do this, and I want to do just a little experiment. What I'm going to get? There's a tension. There's a tension in this giving, isn't there? You know. Clench your fists with me. Jim? Is there tension doing this? Release. Is there tension in that? But this is exactly what happens in our walk. It just comes up and sneaks up on us. And it's all mine. I just love my own Christian ghetto, and I don't want to share with anybody else. But we do that. I do that. We have received more than enough to get the job done to accomplish our mission, our task in this life here on earth. We need to reevaluate, recalibrate, rethink, reread the mission of the kingdom of God and the person works as Jesus and the part we played. Who shared the gospel with you? Do you know who shared the gospel with you? Was it maybe it was the Billy Graham crusade? I don't know. Who shared with you? Who shared it with me? I'll tell you who shared with me. And I have the book that she gave me. Yes, it was a she. A 16-year-old young lady who used to hang out on the beach with me and we'd surf. I think she had a little bit more of a, you know, ulterior motive there. You know, I think she was sneaking up on me, giving me the little sneak attack, you know, with the gospel. But, you know, she kept inviting me over to their house for dinner and stuff like that. And her mom said, oh, come right on in. I go, well, these people are really nice. I didn't know there was nice people like this in the world. You know, and they'd make me dinner. And they kept me coming back time and time again. And then she goes, hey, how would you like to come to a Bible study? What's that? We have it on Wednesday night. I said, sure, I'll come. And I went. And she gave me this book. And she wrote in it. She says, I don't mind sharing this. She says, Jimmy, through Christ, you will see the best love ever. Have faith and thank God always for his wonderful gift, your life in Christ, Ruthie. Amen. This lady led me to the Lord. I went home immediately and told my cousin Donald, whom I live with, and he rejected my message. Guy I grew up with rejected me. I was like, I was crushed. And I think I went, you know, to a few more Bible studies, and then after that, I stopped going, and I ended up in Maine. Oh, which was a God thing, because I ended up meeting this young lady here who had a major impact on my life. But I never blew my cover with her. I never did. And, you know, after we met, I married her, you know, 6 months later, because I just thought she's the best thing I've ever laid eyes on. And she's still the best thing I've ever laid eyes on. And, but inside, I was just miserable. Not because of her. Just because my upbringing, I was just like, you know, just really kind of dead inside, and I knew something was missing. And lo and behold, what happens? I get a call from my cousin, the one who rejected what I had to say, and he starts preaching to me. Honest to God, I'm not joking. Now, I discarded this Bible when I left California years and years ago. I threw this thing away. So he was calling me like every chance he got, and eventually we made a move. I said, Lori, I'm going to go out to California, and I'm going to, you know, get a job, get a place to live, and went out there. Because I just felt like, you know, at the time that might have been the right thing to do. And when my cousin picked me up at the airport, he goes, I got a gift from you. And he pulls this out. I said, where'd you get that at? I threw that thing away. He goes, I was just digging in a dumpster one day, and I found it. A dumpster. Are you kidding me? And I started feeling just a little convicted then. I really did. And this is a true story. I'm not making it up. But how do we go about it? How do we go about recapturing, recovering? How do we take advantage of the gift that's so freely been given to us? And I'm going to show you just a few things really quick. First, we seek his kingdom. Jim alluded to this last week. We ask. It's God's work, is it not? And by doing it, we bring glory to God. We're to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. You know, in Matthew 9, Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, then, to send out work, thrust out work. Did he not say that? I'm asking that today. That God would just redirect our courses, our steps, and just start speaking to us. Number two, we need to stay connected to the source. John 5:19. We know another scripture we know really well. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. And then in John 15:4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And here's a really important one that I don't think I have up on the notes, but I think it's really important. Matthew 6:6, you might want to write this down. Jesus said that when you pray, go into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father who sees. When you pray in the secret place, he who sees you in the secret place will reward you openly. One of my favorite scriptures. We got no business, although I don't think God will smite us, but really we don't have any business going out on our own just saying, hey, you know, I can do anything. Even Jesus didn't model that. He was always hanging out with the Father and saying, Father, what are you doing? What are you doing? And this is what we need to do. We need to go in that private place because God will anoint us in the public or in the public. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to come and lead us to the people he wants us to reach. Be yourself and don't be fearful. Pray every day. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every day. When I get up in the morning, that's what I pray. Before my feet hit that floor, I go, Holy Spirit, come fill me with your kingdom. Come what may, Lord, I want to know what you're doing on the earth today. Very simple prayer. Paul said, I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Anybody want to be a good newser? You know what good newser is? Tell us about the good news. Does he not? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. And God is with us. God is with us. The kingdom of God is in us. It's something that we receive inwardly and readily. God's love, his grace, compels us. It compels us. It thrusts us out. It forces us out. You know, it is manifested outwardly and actively. Christ's love compels us to give. It's just something that we're called to do because it brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. When I got saved,